10:15, 10:20.
10:15, 10:20. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be here. Do you feel that way?
Yes.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. I'll give some thoughts here, then I'm going to come down and stand on the floor and highlight some of our gospel tracts that our ministry prints, and we'll hand those around. Again, my name is Tim Lapish. I'm from Ohio, city called Columbus. Sorry. I did graduate from Ohio State University. Sorry. Before I went to Ohio State, I went to Michigan Tech University in the Upper Peninsula. Amens for that? My dad was born in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Amen. And my mom was born in the holy city of Ohio, Cleveland. So I'm a mixture, half Buckeye and half Michigander. Can I say it that way? Is that good? I just love Michigan. I think it's one of the most beautiful states, and I'm glad to be here today. And I didn't lie one word of it when I said I love Michigan and the state. So, in case you're wondering, I'm just saying that. Anyway, I had formerly pastored the historic Central Baptist Church in downtown Columbus, Ohio, for 30 years. That church began in 1865, right after the Civil War. Second oldest Baptist congregation in Central Ohio. And we got a big push in our church in 1913 when Billy Sunday came to Columbus in the dead of winter. He came for all 4 weeks of January and 3 weeks of February and held one of his renowned tabernacle campaigns, crusades, revivals. He asked all of the churches in Central Ohio to close their services down for 7 weeks, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, etc. Guess what denomination led the way? Anybody want to guess? Methodist. Methodist led the way. Isn't that something? Would the Methodist lead the way today if we had a conservative type revival? I don't know. Second place were we Baptist people. Anyway, the population of Columbus today is burgeoning up to 2 million people. Back then they had 180,000 people. And in 7 weeks, 18,000 people were saved in his tabernacle campaign. The majority were men. And men, we know how stubborn and hard-headed and hard-hearted and a lot of other things I can talk about. We are about bending a knee for anything, let alone Jesus Christ. But Billy Sunday was a man's man, broke chairs, threw things around, climbed on top of the pulpit, former baseball player. I mean, he just attracted men from that era. He reached his generation. The point being, so many people got saved that all the churches in the downtown area tore down their older buildings and built huge, beautiful monstrosities, if I can say it that way, to house all these people who were saved. Most of the men who were saved out of beer joints, alcoholism, etc. When all these men began getting saved, all of a sudden, the bartenders wondered where all the patrons were. So someone said what had happened. They couldn't believe it. They went to the campaign, the tabernacle, which held thousands of people. And you know what happened to the bartenders? They got saved. And then the bar owner all of a sudden didn't have any patrons and didn't have any bartenders. And someone said, well, the reason they quit is because they got saved at the Billy Sunday tabernacle campaign. So the bar owner said, I've got to see what's going on. They went, and guess what? They got saved. And the vast majority of beer joints, bars, honky-tonks in Central Ohio were closed because of the gospel. That's the historic church that I pastored after 30 years. We went there in 1979, stepped down in 2009, and after about a year floating around just preaching here or there, kind of like a free agent in baseball, the Lord directed us to the Fellowship Tract League ministry. Fellowship Tract League is located in the greater Cincinnati, Ohio area. If anybody knows where Kings Island is, anybody go to Kings Island from up here? You probably head to Cedar Point. Kings Island, we're one exit north of Kings Island, which is exit 28. So if you're headed down that way, maybe you're going to Florida or whatever, stop in and see us. We'll save you a ton of money that you would spend at Kings Island. And we are now the largest gospel tract printing ministry in the entire world. We're one exit also north of Bearing Precious Seed, where the King James Bible is printed at Dr. Keene's former church. And so a lot of good things are going on there, excuse me, in southwestern Ohio. Now, I have five children. Four of my five children are in church this morning. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you'd like to, you can. Does anybody have a child they wish was more faithful or in church? Am I the only one? Okay, so we understand. The one who's out of church was raised in church, got saved at an early age, went to our Christian school from kindergarten, graduated, married fine Christian man, but got hurt and got a little bitter. And so it was, instead of being every Sunday, it was every other Sunday, then every other month, and it was hit and miss, and now it's more miss than hit. So if you would pray for my second child, Corey Beth, that God touches her heart to get her back in church. So those of you who are concerned over that, you and I are in this thing together. Now, if all your children are in church, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I have 12 grandchildren. I don't look that old, do I? Now, come on, I need some love here, okay? If we're going to make this thing work. All of them, though, are in church. So I have much to praise the Lord about. We had supported the Fellowship Track League 29 of my 30 years. The Fellowship Track League started in 1978, and in the past 37 years has now exceeded in printing and giving away free of charge all over the world 4.4 billion gospel tracts. You just can't begin to imagine how much 4.4 billion is. We hear that number, and many times I think that some people hear million. No, it's not million. It is billion. That's, if you added China and India together, which is about 2.2 billion or a little bit more, just double that. That's how many gospel tracts we've printed in a short 37-year history and given away free of charge all over the world. Our missionaries, I was looking at your missionary board, I would think that the vast majority use our tracts, and if they don't use our tracts, it's probably because they have not heard of us. The minute they hear of us, and we print 90 foreign languages, they want our tracts because they get them free, and we pay all the postage, all the shipping. We sent a sea container of 10.5 million tracts to northern India and the Tibet region, and it took 5 months to get there, went through 6 custom points. We were praying like crazy, if I can say it that way, that that sea container would make it to its destination. 5 months later, it finally did. We thought somewhere along the way, someone was going to force some cash on the side to let that sea container pass through their customs. I don't know what happened, but the minute they got there, all those tracts were handed out in a very short period of time. And guess what? They now want a second sea container full of 10.5 million tracts in the different dialects and languages of the country of India and Tibet. When our gospel tracts reach the foreign field, say like Philippines, at least 4 people read each tract. Now, keep that in mind. I've got to read a couple verses or I'm going to forget that. In Matthew 6:19, Christ speaking here, if you have red letter edition, says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures where? Upon earth." Why, Lord? Where moth and rust doth corrupt? We in the northern states, our cars just rust out, the snow and the salt and all that good stuff they put down. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Is there anybody here who's never been robbed? Your house, your person, your car, never been robbed. Look at that. I am stunned. Rarely do I see a hand raised. Well, afterwards, those of you who haven't been robbed, we'll go to McDonald's, we'll order French fries, and I'm going to say, look, and when you look, I'm grabbing some of your French fries so you can feel the pain of what it feels like to be robbed. Well, it says here, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. If you are a locksmith by trade in heaven, you are out of a job. Out! There'll be no locks, there'll be no keys. Think about that. You don't have to unlock your vehicle with the button there. You don't have to worry about locking your door at night. I don't even know what kind of doors we're going to have on our mansions up there. And in fact, I used to think about what kind of car I was going to drive when I get to heaven. Forget the cars. I'm getting me a chariot pulled by 24 white horses. That's what I'm driving around heaven. Push button start. Verse 21. Here's the catcher. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want to find where your heart is today, just find out where your treasure is. A lot of us, many times without even thinking about it, our treasures are right here on earth. So that's where our heart is, and we become earthly minded. Jesus did not come to be the starting shortstop in the church softball league, and our church had a great softball team. That was our sport. Spring ball, summer ball, men's team, women's team, teenage team, co-ed teams. We played fall ball. They used to have a game in the dead of January. They call it snowball to raise funds for whatever. We had a team in there. But Jesus didn't come to be the starting shortstop. Jesus did not come, the Bible says, to be the head grill master at the annual church Sunday school picnic. And I love Sunday school picnics. I love them so much we had two every summer, not just one. And I have two boys who are the best grillers that you have ever seen, heard, or tasted in your life. You can find roadkill 5 years old. They'll take it and saute it and grill it, and you'll think it came straight from Kroger's meat department that day. That's how good they are. But Jesus didn't come for that. Why did he come? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And when we get the mind of Christ and look at the world through the eyes of Christ, then I think we'll become heavenly minded to the point where we'll start really realizing the importance of seeing people saved. Now, this used to be a roll of paper. It is now a coin bank. This weighed 500 pounds, and you'll see a picture of this when we do our DVD. And this roll of paper cost $250. And when all the paper is rolled off, it prints 125,000 gospel tracts. Now, when these 125,000 tracts reach, what country did I talk about a few minutes ago? The Philippines. Four people read each tract. So now, with one roll of paper, how many people are reached? Students who love math, where are you? Raise your hand. Stand up. Shout. Who loves math? Four times 125,000 is what? Anybody? Yes. 500,000. It was coming out slow, but I heard the five, so I knew you're going to get to it. Think about that. A person, a business, a Sunday school class, a bus route, a Bible club, a church camp group. If you can raise $250 and buy a roll of paper, you will reach 500,000 people on the mission field. I mentioned India and Tibet. Because there's such a dearth of reading materials, because the governments are very oppressive in that part of those two countries, that now seven people read each gospel tract. All right, brother, you had the five come out. So seven times 125,000 is what? What's your first name? Matthew. All right, Matthew. 875,000 people are reached with one, just one roll of paper. Full disclosure, I would be a horrible rep 5 years now going with the track league if my wife and I had not bought a roll of paper. I mean, how could I come to a church, talk to churches, individuals, business owners, and beg and plead for you to buy a roll of paper for us, and then I hadn't bought one myself? That'd be pretty sorry. Every September, we just passed our 6th September, my wife and I, we pray, and we cheerfully write a check to the Fellowship Track League for $250, and we buy a roll of paper, because I've seen what gospel tracts accomplish. And I realize with the mind of Christ, through the eyes of Christ, that's why Christ came. We turn this into a coin bank, and we leave them with churches. I have two of these sitting out there, and this one is for the church. The two sitting out there, maybe for someone who wants to take it and fill it up and send the change in. I was in an all-black congregation in downtown Toledo, a Baptist church, and they took it and they filled it up in no time. And because they want tracts, they want to reach their community for Christ. Isn't that a great thing? A wonderful thing. I was in a church in Brewster, Ohio, which is south of Canton, a town of 2,000 people. I made my pitch. I'm watching the time. After the service, a man came up as people were filing out. It wasn't a big church, not a big church at all. He came up to me. He said, "Brother Lapish, can I have one of these? I had only brought one in." I said, "Well, they're in my vehicle." He says, "Well, give me your keys." You ever have someone just say, "Give me your keys"? And I didn't realize it just like that. I keep my keys in a hook so I don't lose them. I took my keys off and I threw them to him. I had never done that before, especially if they were my kids. Didn't throw my keys to my kids like that. He came back in with not one but two coin banks. He put them down and he just stood there and looked at me. "Why, my people are filing out." And I said, "Brother, can I do something else for you?" He said, "Yes." Very soft-spoken man. He said, "Can I fill up one of those coin banks right now?" And I thought, what's going on here? Wants my keys, now he wants to fill up one. And people are shaking my hand, so I said, "Help yourself." 5 minutes later, he came back into church building, and this coin bank was full to the brim. Now, if I can get this out, that's how, I don't know how many quarters were in there, but it was full of quarters, absolutely to the top. He put it down, and I'm kind of befuddled here. What's going on? And he stood there again. He says, "Can I take the other one and fill it up right now?" And after that point, I said, "Sure, please do." And I said, "If you don't have enough room, I have two coat pockets here that need filled up." He went out. 5 minutes later, he came back in. It was full to the brim. I couldn't believe it. And it was sitting there. And I thought, I want to see how much one of those weighs. Now, I am just ecstatic at this point. I went to pick it up, and it wouldn't come up easy, so I had to yank it up, and the bottom came off, and all the quarters came out, and it was a tile floor, excuse me, small auditorium there, and the quarters went everywhere. Oh, my goodness. And then the ladies and the men wanted to help pick them up. Now, who do you think picked up most of the quarters, the ladies or the men? How many think the ladies picked up most of the quarters? How many think the men did? No, the women did. Unbelievable. I think all those ladies had played jacks. The younger girls, you don't know what jacks is. Well, those ladies went down. They just scooped up full and put them inside. The men are going, "Here's one. Here's one." Oh, my goodness. Those men were useless. They filled it up. I took two banks back to Columbus, Ohio. That morning, going into school there at Columbus, at the High Street Baptist Church, I called the secretary. I says, "You better have a bunch of $10 quarter rollers." They didn't. They had to run to the bank. Anybody want to guess total between two banks how many quarters were in these? Now, don't guess something like $2 million. You've got to blow it. $460. That's $230 worth of quarters in each one. Well, before I left, I finally had to ask the guy. I said, "Sir, explain how you got these all filled up." And one of the ladies piped up, "Brother Lapish, he owns the laundromat right around the corner from the church." Think about that. He went and emptied, he told me, every one of his machines because he felt touched by the Holy Spirit of God to reach the world for Christ. Now, that's humbling as a representative. Very humbling to me that man went and did that. Think about that. I was in another small church. It had 10 people one Sunday night. It was a small town of 400 people. I went there. It was middle of nowhere. I walked in. The pastor was in his mid-70s. Now, I'm not cracking on anybody in their mid-70s, but that's a little old for still a pastor. Just a little, okay? And very nice, very cordial, old building, but very clean, very well taken care of. Everybody was dressed perfectly, all 10. I gave my pitch, and they wanted me to do a full presentation, so I did. And on the way out, we shook hands, and they left, and I thought, that was nice.
I'm thankful I had an opportunity to present it. 2 weeks later, the flag football team at our Christian high school where I attend, I was on the field watching them play, and a guy in his 70s texted me. How about it, kids? You know anybody 75 who texts us? He texted me that their church was so burdened about reaching the world for Christ, those 10 people got together the next Wednesday and raised $1,500, that's 6 rolls of paper, to reach the world. Amen. Gets better. 9 months later, which would have taken me to this past July 5th. Now, July 4th was a Saturday, and I was trying to get a Sunday night meeting July 5th, and everywhere I called, all the churches said, Brother Lakefish, we're having dinner on the grounds, and we're just dismissing this. You probably aren't going to get a Sunday night service. Why don't you just stay home at your home church there and be with your family? And I thought, well, God, is that what you want me to do? And I just felt burdened that that isn't what God wanted me to do. God wanted me to find a meeting. So I just sat there and just prayed and thought. And I went back to that church of 10 people who, like 9 or 10 months earlier, had bought $1,500 worth of paper. And on the way out, the pastor had said, open invitation. Nobody ever comes here. You're welcome to come anytime you want, Brother Lapish. And I thought, you know, it's only been like 9 or 10 months. I wonder if he really meant what he said. Do you ever tell people when they come over your house, oh, come back anytime? You really don't mean that. I mean, it's been being nice. So I thought he was being nice to me. But I says, you know what? I'm calling him. So I called him. You know what he told me? He said, yes. So I had my meeting that Sunday night. I went. The church had grown. Instead of 10 people, that Sunday night they had 15 people. All elderly. Very elderly. I didn't even really say much about the tract league, but I just said a few things and thanked them for their $1,500 gift and preached a regular sermon and shook hands and thought, boy, that was nice. 2 weeks later, the pastor, showing me his tech savviness, doesn't text me. He now emails me. I mean, what an awesome guy that those 15 people got together and raised $2,820 to reach the world for Christ. My goodness. So I tell everywhere I go, I tell churches, could be youth groups, could be a member of the church, could be a business owner, might come from your mission account. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit seems to touch people's hearts and minds differently everywhere I go. And I give my pitch, if I can call it that, then I just stand back and watch. See what God does. I was in a church in Ypsilanti. I say it right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I wanted to say Yip, but I know better. I forget the fellow's name. He took 2 banks. I was there in the beginning of last summer. And he says, we're going to let the boys and girls in Bible school go against each other. And they raised like $700 or $800 in each one because they kept emptying them out and the kids would bring more. Guess who won, the girls or the boys? Anybody want to guess?
The girls.
The girls. You know what that tells me? The women have the money. Now, when we go out to eat at my house, my wife always conveniently, oh, I left my purse at home. They know every angle. I would be stunned if we took an offering right now and the men beat the lady, because the ladies have places they hide money and everything else. I'm saying all that to say this. Could you help us with a roll of paper? It's not going in my pocket. It's going to reach the untold masses around the world. Now, do we have any Gideons present with us today? Any Gideons? Everywhere I go, I meet Gideons. The Gideons, of course, give away Bibles free of charge. When I was going to Ohio State, a Gideon gave me a King James, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs back in the 70s, and I still have it. I'm thankful for that. If I do stay in a hotel room, which is rare, I open a drawer, and there's a Gideon Bible. Thank the Lord for that. They started in 1899. Anybody around them? So from 1899 to today, 116 years, they have printed 1.9 billion Bibles and have given them away free of charge. Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful? But in 37 years, our short history, 4.4 billion gospel tracts. See, ours is a ministry of faith and faith alone. The Gideons have over 300,000 members and representatives around the world, and their budget is like eight figures, if not higher. Thank the Lord for that. There's only three of we reps to travel the world. I really hate to leave Ohio, Indiana, Michigan myself. That's way too much traveling for me. When I joined, there were five reps. All of them have quit because they couldn't afford to stay on the road. So not only am I trying to raise money for Roll Paper, but I am raising my personal support as well. So if you'd like to help me stay on the road and keep me rolling for the Lord, raising money for rolls of paper, etc., would you pray about my monthly support? We had one track come back from the Philippines, and my time's just about up here. And I'm just going to stand up here. This is track number 103. This particular track, I know you can't see it. All this I did for the picture of Christ hanging on Calvary. This particular 103 track came back from the Philippines, where 17 people had signed the back of that track that they had read it and repented of their sins. 17 Filipinos are on their way to heaven because of one gospel tract. Wouldn't you have liked to have bought that roll of paper? And then I thought, what happened to the other 124,999 other tracts that went to the Philippines? And then about those 17 who got saved, I don't know if you've ever been around Filipino people. I have. They talk like crazy. They've got the gift of talk. I'm sure they told everybody in sight. How many souls must have been won because of one tract, not counting the rest? And the Bible says, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? We have, and I believe in retirements, I believe in pensions, I believe in 401ks. But you know, when I go, I talk to people, and I talk to people who are worth real, serious money. And all the money that we have in all these accounts, couldn't we do something for the Lord in a special way to help the track league? Does someone really need $1 million in their 401k? Now, you may say, yes, it's not your money, Brother Lapish, it's my money. I know, I'm saying, okay. But the rapture is imminent, if it can happen at any time, and Russia's in Syria, China's got warships in the Mediterranean, people hate Israel more than ever, Iran hates us, wants to defeat Israel, what else is left to happen for the rapture? If the rapture takes place and we're caught up, we're leaving the Antichrist all that money. You know, could you take out 1%, 5%, 10% and do something serious for the Lord? So one day when you get caught up in the rapture, you can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wonderful words to hear from our Lord. And now we'll be putting eternal rewards in heaven that will last for all eternity. I've got so much more to say, so many more tracks to show. My time is up. We have a 6.5-minute DVD to look at. Our website's fellowshiptrackleague.org. It's on the back of every track. If you go there, you can see our website. We have, listen to this, 2 million hits a month. Not a year, a month. All over the world, people are ordering our tracks. We have up to 90,000 people at any given time who can access our website looking for tracks. It is an insane thing that God is doing. We are the tip of the gospel spear that God is hurling into every country on planet Earth. We lead the way because missionaries go in with millions of our tracts ready to hand out. What a better way for your mission program to advance. What better way for your missionaries to keep our tracts than to help us with your prayers and financial support. We'll show this every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. We have a work day. You say, well, I'll forget that day of the week. What day did Wimpy tell Popeye he would pay him back? Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come on down. You say, oh, that's a 3.5-4-hour drive. I was in Jacksonville, Florida last winter. Invited them to come up. They all laughed. There's a church over 1,000 people. You know what? This past summer, they sent a group of teenagers from Jacksonville, Florida up to the Fellowship Track League to help us on our work day. From 9 a.m. to 12 noon, we'll feed you a big meal. If you let us know, we can get you up to 12 free tickets to the Creation Museum. A lot of churches, with the money they save in the tickets, spend a night in a hotel down there. You've got very precious seed, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want, stop in Columbus. I'll give you a tour of Ohio State University. I just want to see if you were listening. No, I couldn't do that. We do have a street called Michigan Street. I'd be glad to drive you down that. It's about one block long. So, anyways, here's our DVD. Look at it. Open your heart and mind to what God and the Holy Spirit can do through your life for worldwide missions. Action.